Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Okay, today we got a really good show for you guys today, and we gonna get it started. Okay, I'm your host, John L. Brown, and also I have another host that's with me. Her name is Tamaya Gaines, and we gonna get it gone. Okay, and what I want to do, I'm going to go ahead on and bring our special guest on. Our special guest is Miss Christine Manya. She's a professional healthcare worker out of Houston, Texas. And we're going to go ahead on and talk a little bit about COVID. We're going to talk a little bit about a lot of things, okay? And I tell you, boy, this doggone, it's getting, people is calling in left and right from all over the United States. Okay, so what I want to do is get it started, and I'm going to bring Miss Christine on. Miss Christine, please come on and tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Yes, my name is Christine Manya. I'm a registered nurse from Louisiana, now living in Texas. I do mid-surg and postpartum, so I've taken care of COVID patients who are regular COVID patients and COVID patients while they're pregnant and after they had the baby also. So everybody, you know, is different. It's been a tough experience, but, you know, kind of is what it is.
Yes. Yes. Okay, Ms. Tamaya, you want to jump in?
And sure. Well, welcome to Uplifting Communities Talk Show, Ms. Manuel. There's been a lot of controversy in regards to the COVID vaccine. I know a few people in the healthcare industry as well who are a little bit skeptical about the vaccine. Can you give us a few of pros and cons about the vaccine? Tell us what your experience with the COVID vaccine has been and what you know it to be.
As far as the COVID vaccine, I personally, they mandated it at my job, so I pretty much had to take it or find some type of exemption not to take it. I personally didn't have any side effects but a sore arm and those type of things, but I know some people, they were pretty fatigued afterwards. Some even ran fever. To my knowledge, none of my coworkers have been critically ill due to the vaccine. I know there's research saying that some people have to be hospitalized afterwards. Everybody, it's a vaccine. Everybody's body is different. So that's kind of like the scary part about it. It's brand new. We haven't been vaccinated for anything like this before. So I know a lot of people are scared because it was made so quickly. It's pretty much your person. If you work in healthcare, unfortunately, you pretty much have to take it or you won't have a job. That's kind of what's been going on, which in my personal opinion isn't fair, but, you know, everybody has to do what they have to do for their family, for themselves, and what they feel is right at the end of the day.
Right. Okay, so according to the NIH and a couple of the other health organizations, and without naming names, a couple of the people that I know who personally work in the industry, is it true that these vaccines aren't infused with MRSA, SARS, and AIDS, or the hormone that produces AIDS? Have you known that or heard that? Have you had an opportunity to look at the labels at all?
No, I haven't heard any of those things. The main thing that I heard was that possibly stem cells were used to create the vaccine in aborted fetuses. And I know some people who refuse the vaccine, that's why they did not get it due to that. I haven't heard of anything of like the MMR and those type of things in the vaccine. Me personally, I have not read the label of ingredients in the vaccine because we don't give it here on the floor. It's not an inpatient thing yet. The only thing we give on the floor as far as vaccines or the flu shot, because flu season is, and like the MMR vaccine. But we don't give the COVID vaccine before. The patients have to do that on an outpatient basis.
Got it. Now, as far as COVID itself, what are some of the early warning signs for somebody who may be asymptomatic, but they notice their body is a little off? What would you tell the prudent layperson to kind of look out for?
For sure, shortness of breath and increasing cough. I mean, some people have allergies, so they, you know, may have a little cough, but if you feel like your cough is getting worse, you're not breathing as well as you have previously, I would definitely monitor very closely, because the problem with COVID is that once you're sick, you're very sick. You can, within 24 hours, certain people have passed away. They were perfectly fine and just started feeling a little bad. Next thing you know, they're not here. So for sure, if you start having cough and especially the shortness of breath, I would definitely get checked out and request a chest X-ray, because that's one of the diagnostics is if your chest X-ray has, they call it glassy sediment, basically. That's one of the contributing factors besides the swab that you do have COVID.
Got it. Thank you.
I'll jump in right quick. And one thing that I do know, COVID-19, this been so bad in the United States. You know, this been worse than actually crack cocaine, you know, back in the early 80s. Because I know there's a lot of people dying and losing their homes and losing their families and everything, but COVID is worse than that. And also,
I said, but you can't smoke COVID. I mean, you had crack cocaine.
Oh, yeah, I know that. You know, but
yeah,
what I'm saying is that it's worse. It's worse because there's a lot of people. I mean, it's getting worse. Okay, I remember back in the day, you know, back in the 80s, early 80s, you know, just about every household in the United States, somebody knew somebody that was on, you know, on crack. And it's getting that way with COVID right now, to where though a lot of people, know somebody that didn't have COVID. For example, I had COVID. I caught it, and I didn't even know that I was going to catch this thing. I was fine. You know, stayed in the hospital for a couple of days, and then they sent me back home and quarantined me, you know. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you, Christine, now, quarantine. You know, when you catch COVID, you go, do you have to stay in a room or have to stay away from people, or is that just the weapon?
I mean, that's the recommendation. The main thing, if you do have to be around people, wear a mask and for sure, like, wear gloves and change those gloves after you touch things. Definitely wash your hands a lot. Use the hand sanitizer and things like that. But most definitely, if you do have to be around people and are COVID positive, for sure, you wear a mask, try to get them to wear one, and wash your hands and sanitize things often.
Okay.
And if you do have to take, I suggest if you do have to take like a breathing treatment where it's like any type of aerosol spray, do that in a room away from others, because it can spread that way also. If you're doing the breathing treatment, you know, what's coming out could have, the virus in it also.
So if you have to do breathing treatments or aerosol spray that you spray in your room, is you have to, contain that?
Yeah, if your breathing treatment requires any type of aerosol connected to it where, like, when you breathe into it, it puts out anything, I would do that in a room that others wouldn't be in, because like here in the hospital, if we have a patient that's COVID positive and they're doing a breathing treatment, they try to do the breathing treatment to where it isn't like a spray, that an aerosol spray that goes out. It's contained in a container and those type of things.
Oh, okay. So that way it wouldn't get all over the house and somebody else catch COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you. It's been that this thing here is just terrible. So tell me something now. How can a person fight against that? How can you fight against that?
COVID. I mean, really, there's no really specific way not to get COVID. The best thing you can do is do preventive measures. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Now, if you do decide to get vaccinated, people who are vaccinated, their symptoms seem to be less severe than those that have not been vaccinated. But, I mean, you still can get COVID. I mean, because, like I said before, everybody's body is different. Everybody has a different immune response. So the vaccine is not 100% effective of not getting COVID, but it has been proven that people who get the vaccine don't get as sick as if they would not have the vaccine.
Right. And I think that's what happened to me. I got the shots. I got the vaccine. So it wasn't that bad on me. You know, it wasn't bad at all. Now, they also say that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just want to jump in here and ask a question really quick while we're on the topic. Ms. Manuel, how long can COVID survive in the air?
At one point in time, things change every day. At one point in time, they were saying like up to 12 hours, but I mean, I'm not sure if that's changed. This was like the very beginning. It's been a while since I've taken care of COVID patients consistently. I'm sure some of the research has changed since then. But I know for one point in time it was up to 12 hours, especially if it's somebody like coughing consistently. Cause it's
and
like
has
one of the
life
things
off with that?
What was that? I'm sorry.
Lysol. I know there was people were going crazy and buying all the Lysol off of the shelves. Is Lysol effective against COVID?
I mean, it can help, but it's not going to prevent you from getting it. I mean, it will help, with germs and things like that, but it's more like if you breathe the virus in, Lysol isn't going to, you know, prevent you from getting it if you already had it in. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I have to say this here, to everybody. You're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and our special guest is Ms. Christine Manuel. She's a healthcare worker, a professional healthcare worker out of Houston, Texas. And if you want to ask a question or whatever, you know, please press 1, and I'll let you in, and you can ask a question. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Tamayo.
Okay, I understand that. Okay, so let's talk about the vaccine. And thanks for pointing out that those who are vaccinated doesn't mean that you will not get COVID. You're still capable of getting COVID. Your symptoms are just less severe. But if you're protected somewhat against COVID, why is the healthcare system and society so intimidated by those who do not want to get vaccinated? Why is there such a fear of the unvaccinated population, if you will? Do you have any thoughts?
My thoughts is just because it's new. This vaccine, people feel like if you can create something this fast, why can't you create other things just as fast to help people? We have all different type of viruses besides just COVID. They've been around for years, and it's like you could come up with a vaccine, to help this for, in less than a year or a year exactly, and other things have been around killing people, and, you haven't put the same effort, I guess, into it. And then I know a lot of people I talk to, they feel a certain type of way about at one point in time they were paying people to get the vaccine, I know in here in Houston, I think I heard it on the radio. If you get the vaccine and get both doses, they'll give you like $100 or something like that. That was a thing at one point in time. So the fact that they're paying people to do this is, you know, some people don't feel comfortable with, and also exactly what's in it. I think it's more of just a distrust of the government because of history of things that they did to not only African-American community, but just people in general over the years with vaccines and other things in healthcare. So I think that's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, wow. I didn't know that they was paying people to take the vaccine. Wow.
Yes.
You know, I guess that's a good way to get them in the hospital and take the shot, or either wherever they take the shot at. Okay, we started off with the COVID-19, and then they then they came up with I think it was Delta variant.
Yes.
And they say they got another one out. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not sure about. All I've heard so far in the hospital setting is the Delta variant. But COVID is a virus. Viruses do mutate, so I'm not surprised that there's other variants to this virus, because that's what viruses do. When they can't get a host, they find another way to get a host. So, you know, it's not surprising that there's a Delta variant, or there may be other variants that come about in the next couple of years. So, I mean, it's just going to be one of those things like the Spanish flu type of thing that happened years ago that, you know, it's just going to have to kind of run its course, unfortunately, and we'll just have to, you know, see what happens.
Right. Well, we got someone just called. They want to ask you a question. Let's let them in. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, John. It's April. I just wanted to tell you about the variant that you were talking about, the other variant.
Okay. How you doing, April?
I'm good. I'm loving the show. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So you wanted to ask Ms. Christine Manuel a question?
Well, basically, I wanted to know, have you, like, researched the criminal history of, like, Pfizer and Moderna? Those are my questions.
Me, personally, I have not researched their criminal history, but I know, I've heard that they've been sued, and I know people have passed away from their products, not just the COVID vaccine, but other vaccines. I'm not really familiar with their criminal history. I can honestly say that, but I know.
If you get a chance, just Google their criminal history. I mean, that is just crazy when I read that, all the stuff about that. Especially Pfizer, I think, was the worst one.
I'm sure, because they create a lot of medical products and vaccines and things like that. So, yeah, I'm sure they're probably up there, because, like I said, a lot of Pfizer is well-known in the medical community, and they create a bunch of different products that hospitals and physicians and those type of people use.
Well, thank you so much for that answer. I appreciate
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, April. Thank you for calling
thank
in.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, but I never heard anything about the the different makers of the vaccines. I don't know anything about their criminal records myself, neither. You know, I do know this year is that my suggestion is people need to take that vaccine. I don't know. What you think about it? As a professional healthcare worker, do you think people need to take that?
I mean, honestly, I'm on the fence with it. I feel like that, people have their right to not want to take it, but also you need to know that there's consequences. to not taking it, that you could get very sick. You can even die if you catch COVID. So I do feel like it should be a personal choice. No one should be forced, but everybody should be informed of what, you know, what the consequences are of not taking it and of getting COVID.
Have you have you heard about?
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh no, I was just saying. As a healthcare professional, I do respect everyone's right to do what they want to do with their, you know, body and what they want to put in it and those type of things.
Okay.
I'm not going to treat anybody differently, whether they caught COVID and they're vaccinated or unvaccinated. My goal is to help people get better. So.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. And that is great what you just said. You know, your goal is to help people get better. Wow. Now that's a professional talking. Because I love it, what you just say. Your goal is to help people get better, regardless if they took the shot or not.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. You know. Okay, well, we got about 7 more minutes left, okay? And I want to let everybody know that's listening, and you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Our special guest is Ms. Christine Mania. She's a professional healthcare worker out of Houston, Texas. So if you guys want to ask another questions, y'all feel free to, you know, press 1, and I'll let you in. Okay, it's got a lot of people that called in. It's people on the Facebook watching it, is listening in, and, you know, other sites and stuff like that. So there's a lot of people listening in, you know. If you had anything positive to tell the audience out there right now, you know, about COVID, what would you tell them?
I know it's not positive,
but go ahead.
I would tell them, as far as right now, I know I've talked to some of my friends back in Louisiana, and I know here at the hospital that the number of COVID patients has gone down. So it looks like we're on a downward trend as far as people being admitted to the hospital with COVID. So, I mean, that's a positive. So that could be either people getting vaccinated more, or just, it's called herd immunity, just it being around so long and everybody's immune response is kicking in to where they're not getting as sick to be hospitalized. But the numbers are going down, so hopefully they'll stay that way. It won't spike back up like they did, but it is trending down.
Mm.
Well, that's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So it is trimming down. Now, in your personal opinion, do you think that COVID gonna just disappear?
No, I don't think it'll disappear. I think people will probably they won't get as sick from it, maybe, if anything. But I think it's here to stay. But just the severity of the virus won't be as bad.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like the flu. You know, the flu been around for a long time, but, you know, once you get that flu shot, you know, it helps out a little bit, you know, with some people. And some people don't even take the flu shot, and they don't catch the flu. So you think that's going to be something like that with COVID?
It could possibly be. I mean, it may take a little while for you know, COVID to get to where, you know, that people aren't getting as sick from it and those type of things. But, I mean, eventually it's probably going to be on the same lines as the flu, possibly. It's a possibility.
Wow.
Well, can I jump in? Question?
Sure, go ahead.
Ms. Manuel, COVID, just like the flu, is it attacks the respiratory system.
Yes.
How is COVID different from the flu, and what makes it so lethal?
Basically, COVID causes the lungs to not be able to expand fully. you get when you look at it on a chest X-ray, you'll see it'll look like the lungs is basically filled with glass. It'll show up as basically white, glassy looking mm-hmm. spots. So that prevents the lungs from expanding, which if they don't expand, you can't breathe properly. So that's the difference between COVID and the flu, because with the flu, your lungs are affected, but it tends to heal. With COVID, even after your chest X-ray shows it's getting better, there's more scar tissue left from that, mm-hmm. that we call it ground glassy, like sediment, basically. So that's why people who have COVID may have long-term shortness of breath and things like that, because their lungs are scarred, which is preventing them from to expand and then to breathe all the way. So
would, I guess, homeopathic options until somebody can seek professional care, medical care, would somebody be able to inhale steam to help with the expansion of their lungs or breathe inside of a brown paper bag? What can they do at home, if anything, to assist with that? Or is there anything?
The main thing is with COVID, you get very fatigued, most patients mm-hmm. say. But the main thing is to keep moving around, basically kind of treating your body like you would do the flu a little bit, like warm liquids, stay hydrated. And when you sleep, sleeping on the stomach, they found helps with the lung expansion. So if you mm-hmm. can, at night, when you do rest, sleep on your belly, and just don't stop moving, because when you stop moving and just kind of sit, everything kind of pulls to the bottom of your lungs, so you're not expanding. Mm-hmm. So just the main thing is just to keep moving, even though you may not have that energy. You can also do, it's called incentive spirometer. A lot of people get it after they have regular procedures in the hospital. If you have one of those, it's a machine. You basically breathe in and it goes up, and like breathe deep breaths in and out. That kind of helps with your lungs too, doing that periodically throughout the day. But the main thing you don't want to do is just when you start feeling bad with COVID, especially, is just sit in the bed under blankets and just hoping it'll get better, because more than likely you'll get worse a lot faster by doing that.
What is okay. the proper way to use that machine that you was talking about, the one that yeah. you blow in? What is the proper yeah. way to use that?
It's usually a little machine that has a mouthpiece on it. You want to make a tight seal around that mouthpiece and suck in. And then it should have, like, numbers and, like, a little lever, and the lever will go up to the different numbers or whatever. It's usually, like, 0 to 3,000 are the numbers on the machine. If you ever had surgery and got one of those, the average person, you want it to, like, 1,500 to 2,000 is what we recommend, which probably be, like, a normal person could do. But if you have that, that's something good to do just to keep those lungs expanded and those type of things.
Do you get the air out your lungs first and then suck in that thing or blow in it? Do you get the air out your lungs, then blow in it, or just blow in it?
You just blow in it. You don't have to do anything special beforehand. As long as you have that tight seal and suck in, that's how you use it effectively. And that's how you know you're using it, because the lever on it should go up and down. So if you're doing it and it's not going up and down, either you don't have a tight enough seal or the tubing on the machine has a hole or kink or something in it.
I see. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, this was a half an hour show, you guys, you know, and I really appreciate Ms. Christine Manuel for coming on. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us some valuable information. Do you want to say anything else, Mr. Maya, to Christine, or want to ask her another question or anything like that?
No, I just want to, again, echo what you said, Mr. Brown. I want to thank you tremendously, Ms. Christine Manuel, for coming on the show. Thank you for your service to our society and for your bravery. Thanks for being one of our heroes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you're definitely one of our heroes, that's for sure. Okay, everybody, with that said, we're going to say goodnight to you guys. And thank you again, Ms. Christine Manuel, for coming on the show. I really enjoyed you, and thank you so much. And thank you to my, you know, for giving out some nuggets also, okay? And I really appreciate you. And
no problem.
You know, so, you know, you guys, that's the only thing I can say, and I want to thank the audience for listening in. I want to thank the people that called in. And God bless y'all, okay? Y'all go out and have a good time. Oh, and tomorrow, those listening in from California, okay, Bear West Barbecue going to be opening up tomorrow, okay, at 11 o'clock. So y'all come on out. It's over at 5901 Watt Avenue. So y'all come on out and get some barbecue, and we're going to have a good time and eat barbecue and just talk and laugh. All right, so y'all come on out. Remember, Bear West Barbecue is 5901 Watt Avenue. Okay, at 11 o'clock, the door's going to open, and y'all come on out and get some barbecue. All right? All right, with that said, we're going to say goodnight. What you wanted to say, Tamaya?
Happy Halloween. Everybody have a safe and happy
Halloween.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot about that. Happy Halloween, everybody. All right. Well, good night, everybody. Y'all have a good one. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.